Good morning. Greetings of love and peace. This morning, I'd like to open up to Job chapter 41. As I was reading this chapter, I realized that we are in a battle with the enemy of our soul. And it came to me, do we know what the enemy of our soul looks like? And as I was reading through chapter 41, it's talking about Leviathan and his mighty strength and his appearance. And I was thinking, this sounds like Satan. In my mind, this is what Satan should look like. He should be a demon. He should be this thing that wants to attack us and kill us. But is he like that? Does he truly look like what Leviathan does in Job 41? So I'm going to read Job 41, and there's several other scriptures here that I'd like to read here as well. So starting at verse 1, canst thou draw out Leviathan with an hook, or his tongue with the cord which thou lettest down? Canst thou put an hook into his nose, or bore his jaw through with a thorn? Will he make many supplications unto thee? Will he speak soft words unto thee? Will he make a covenant with thee? Wilt thou take him for a servant forever? Wilt thou play with him as with a bird? Or wilt thou bind him for thy maidens? Shall the companions make a banquet of him? Shall they part him among the merchants? Canst thou fill his skin with barbed irons, or his head with fish spears? Lay thine hand upon him. Remember the battle. Do no more. Behold, the hope of him is in vain. Shall not one be cast down, even at the sight of him? None is so fierce that dare stir him up. Who then is able to stand before me? Who hath prevented me that I should repay him? Whatsoever is under the whole heaven is mine. I will not conceal his parts, nor his power, nor his comely proportion. Who can discover the face of his garment? Or who can come to him with his double bridle? Who can open the doors of his face? His teeth are terrible round about. His scales are his pride, shut up together as with a close seal. One is so near to another that no air can come between them. They are joined one to another. They stick together that they cannot be sundered. By his kneesings a light doth shine, and his eyes are like the eyelids of the morning. Out of his mouth go burning lamps, and sparks of fire leap. Out of his nostrils goeth smoke, as out of a seething pot or cauldron. His breath kindleth coals, and a flame goeth out of his mouth. In his neck remaineth strength, and sorrow is turned into joy before him. The flakes of his flesh are joined together. They are firm in themselves. They cannot be moved. His heart is as firm as a stone, yea, as hard as a piece of the nether millstone. When he raiseth up himself, the mighty are afraid. By reason of breakings, they purify themselves. The sword of him that layeth at him cannot hold, the spear, the dart, nor the habergeon. He esteemeth iron as straw, and brass as rotten wood. The arrow cannot make him flee. Sling stones are turned with him into stubble. Darts are counted as stubble. He laugheth at the shaking of a spear. Sharp stones are under him. He spreadeth sharp pointed things upon the mire. He maketh the deep to boil like a pot. He maketh the sea like a pot of ointment. He maketh a path to shine after him. One would think the deep to be hoary. Upon earth there is not his like. Who is made without fear? He beholdeth all things. He is a king over all the children of pride. So as I was thinking that in my mind, from my preconceived notions, my being raised in a house that had TV, and I could see the cartoons, I could see the movies, this in my mind is what Satan should look like. And I have a feeling that most of maybe the evangelical Christian world could view Satan as this. You know, the world and all the cartoons, you see him as a red demon with a long tail with a pointy tip. He's got horns coming out of his head. He's got vampire teeth. There's fire and smoke emanating from him. He's holding a pitchfork and he has a sly smile. That's how the world, I think, views Satan. He is this beast. He is this ugly creature. But is he? Is he an ugly creature? I know that there are several references in the Bible that shows him as a serpent, as a dragon, in Revelations and all this, but is there other scripture that explains kind of what he looks like too? So we need to know what our enemy looks like. In every war, in every battle, there's two sides. And we have to know who our enemy is. Just like in the Revolutionary War, there was the Loyalists, there was the Patriots. The Loyalists read redcoats. The Patriots, from what I could see in the pictures, they wore bluecoats. So if you're in a battle, you knew who your enemy was. You could see vividly who he was. And same within the Civil War. There was the Union and the Confederates. The Union wore blue, the Confederates wore gray. There was a distinction there of who the enemy was. So I like to just kind of go through, starting in Genesis chapter 3. We're going to read verses 1 through 5 from Genesis 3 in an attempt to paint a picture of who our enemy is. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So here in Genesis, we see Satan as a serpent. And I believe that he is a serpent. He can come as just a slithering little snake. Next, I like to read out of Job, chapter 1, verse 6. And also 2, verse 1. So Job chapter 1, verse 6, and chapter 2, verse 1. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And 2, 1, again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. So here we have another picture that God called the angels, the sons, his creation to him, and Satan had to come and present himself to God. It was like God almost commanded them, and he had to come. But it says here, the sons of God and Satan came also among them. And what God has created is beautiful. Angels, which we're going to read here in just a little bit, that Satan was an angel. And I don't believe God would have created an ugly, beast-looking angel. So Isaiah 14, verses 12 through 17. Isaiah 14, 12 through 17. Thy pomp is brought, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? So in verse 16, it says, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms? We have this preconceived image of Satan, of this terrible image. And I think if we could actually see him, we would be like, this is the man? This is he? This is he who did this? He's nothing. He may just be, I don't know, maybe he's just a little pipsqueak. But he's beautiful. He's not this beast with horns and teeth and fire coming out of him. But yet he can be. He can be that. His outward appearance is beautiful, but his inward is ugly. And that's the scary thing about Satan. Ezekiel 28. Through 19. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. So here we read Satan. He was created. He was perfect in the ways from the day that he was created. He was perfect in the ways from the day that he was created until pride came into his heart. And then, I guess in my mind, if you have pride in your heart, it doesn't change your outward appearance. I still look like Justin if there's pride in my heart. Satan can still look like this. He can still be covered in precious stones. He can still come to us in a beautiful way, but yet it is evil. It is ugly. We need to abhor the wickedness of Satan. But yet we also have to realize that he can come to us in a beautiful way. And that's where the deception comes. If we knew what he looked like, if the world knew what he looked like, if they realized that he was not this dragon, or if he truly was this dragon, nobody would follow after him. We'd be terrified. If he was truly a serpent, ladies, you'd be running. I know my wife is terrified of snakes. If there's a snake, she's out of there. And that's because there's a fearfulness there. But he comes to us in a beautiful way that is truly deceptive. John 8:44. John 8:44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Let us remember that whenever he does come to us and he tempts us, we remember that he is a murderer and a liar. There is no truth in him. He may twist it, he may make it sound like the truth, but there is no truth in it. 2 Corinthians 11:14. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. And I think he can be transformed into an angel of light because he was an angel of light whenever he was first created. He was an angel of light, but pride and murder and lying has made him what he is today. James 4:7. I thought this one here was an interesting one. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Satan is a coward. If we truly fight, it says right here, he will flee. He's a coward. He's a coward. And that's just a wonderful thing. Keep fighting. He will flee. By God's grace, we keep fighting, and he will flee from us. And then 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. A roaring lion. You know, we were at the zoo one time, and the big lion with the big mane was leaning right up against the glass. And I had Kenny go stand up beside this lion, and I took a picture. It was a beautiful creature. Just a beautiful animal. And they look like you could go up and give them a hug. But we can't. They will devour us. And same with Satan. We cannot embrace him at all. Revelations 12, 7 through 9. Revelations 12, 7 through 9. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And here it does describe Satan as a dragon here. And it made me think of Satan as a wolf in sheep's clothing. We have sheep at our place right now, thanks to Francis and Regina. They've been a blessing. I've been able to look at them and to see the innocence of a sheep. And if with a sheep, all they do is just kind of cry at you, help, I need help. And a wolf will not do that, even if it is clothed in a sheep's wool. A wolf will not bah. If you poke it, if you help it, if it's caught, I think Francis was having troubles with some of the lambs getting their heads caught in the fence, and he would pull, and whenever they got out, they didn't turn and bite him. They probably went up to him and wanted a pet. But a wolf will not do that. If we expose Satan for who he is, he will bite, he will scratch, he will try to destroy us. Satan is the master of disguise. He can be a serpent, then an angel of light, then a dragon, back to an angel of light, to a lion, all in a blink of an eye. He will disguise himself so that he can kill us. And let's always remember that he is a liar. He is a murderer. There is no beauty in him. He makes things look beautiful to tempt us. And he has to constantly change his appearance to deceive us. But with God's word, we can know that the enemy of our soul does look like. We can reveal what he is. Back in 1965, there was a man named Paul Harvey. He was a newscaster on the radio, very well-known man. And he gave a warning to the United States about Satan and how it will destroy this nation. And I think we can take it and apply it to even the church and make sure that Satan does not come into the church. But I would like to read what he said over national news. And he titled it, "If I Were the Devil." If I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness. And I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population. But I wouldn't be happy until I'd seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about, however necessary, to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whisper to Eve, do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confine that what's bad is good, and what's good is square. and the old, I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors on how to make lured literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I'd encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbols of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who want until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what do you bet? I could get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes and hard work and immoral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that what you see on TV is the way to be. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing. And that was back in 1965, and I think that we could say that the devil has succeeded. He has succeeded in this. And it wasn't because he came to us or came to the people as a dragon. He came to them as an angel of light. I'd also like to turn to Ephesians 6. And I like to just finish with Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Because this is telling us what we should be bearing on us, so that we can see who our allies are, so that we can fight the fight together against this enemy of our souls. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Maybe we can finish with a prayer. Our Father, we are thankful for thy word. We are thankful that we can read thy word, that we can learn of who our enemy is. Father, be with us. Help us, Father, to come together as a church, united, helping each other fight this fight. For we know Satan will never give up. He will keep pressing on. He will keep trying different ways to get in. He will try to weasel his way in any way that he can. And Father, we pray that we could stay true and fast to you. Give us grace, O Father. Give us grace in Christ's holy name.